John Stuart Mill makes an important point relative to this. Within, necessarily given his submersion within it, a class framework, quote, there must, and of course I'm saying, you know, within a class framework, because he had no other reference. Because, no, there doesn't actually have to be a pyramid power, but you felt that, you know where. What I was, didn't need to even say it. There must, we know, be some paramount power in society, and that the majority should be that power is, on the whole, right, not as being just in itself, but as being less unjust than any other footing on which the matter can be placed. But it is necessary that the institutions of society should make provision for keeping up in some form or other, as a corrective to partial views, like the power guys got, and a shelter for freedom of thought and individuality of character, a perpetual and standing opposition to the will of the majority. And my interjection, I would add, particularly when that will has been, per the counsel of Mill's teacher, Jeremy Bentham, been constructed by the few by means of traditional, quote-unquote, Western, quote-unquote, child rearing. And for the regular listeners, you know that I put Western in quotes because Western is also Eastern. I always use that phrase, the great Mediterranean bowl is, you know, the sort of the origins of this class framework, and it doesn't necessarily apply to all peoples historically or even now. There are still pockets of freedom in the world. Let's make sure they don't get absorbed into this roach motel called the global system. Where were we? All right, so I was just interjecting that that majority has been constructed, the will that the majority express in today's domination of the class system is in fact the will of a tiny, tiny few. And that is ensured by means of traditional Western child rearing, which is why we're reading Alice Miller. All countries which have long continued progressive, and this is continuing with John Stuart Mill, all countries which have long continued progressive or been durably great have been so because there has been an organized opposition to the ruling power of whatever kind that power was. And my comment, and organized resistance when power is global must be global to be meaningful. And this is the point that our good three made in anti-systemic movements. And anybody who's just tuning in, we read that book together, and you can go back and listen into the reading of that book. It's an important one. Continuing. So organized opposition to power of whatever kind that power is, plebeians to patricians, clergy to kings, free thinkers to clergy. So we see Mr. Mill has been paying attention. This is what power has done across the millennia. This is what it does across the millennia. It strives to eliminate all opposition. Continuing, kings to barons, commons to king and aristocracy. Almost all the greatest men who have ever lived have formed part of such an opposition. Wherever some such quarrel has not been going on, wherever it has been terminated by the complete victory of one of the contending principles, and no new contest has taken the place of the old, society has either hardened into stationariness or fallen into dissolution. A center of resistance round which all the moral and social elements which the ruling power views with disfavor may cluster themselves, and behind whose bulwarks they may find shelter from the attempts of that power to hunt them out of existence, is as necessary where the opinion of the majority is sovereign as where the ruling power is a hierarchy or an aristocracy. Where no such point d'appui exists, there the human race will inevitably degenerate. Unquote from John Stuart Mill, his essay on Bentham. And I hope folks listening, particularly those who consider themselves part of the left, think seriously about that. That it is in fact a noble task, a noble challenge or calling that is before us right now. We are preserving the integrity of the human race. It is in dire straits. And it is our job right now, those of us who see ourselves as forming an opposition to the unchallenged rule of the tiny few globally. It falls on us to accept the reality of the situation, that it cannot be resistance within a state frame that does anything at all to preserve that humanity we say we are worried about right now. There is no other way but to accept this as a global challenge.